Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, a candid conversation as we learn about types of dementias, such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, frontal temporal, and Lewy body, and the effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, overcome obstacles, and find positive outcomes. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Hello, friends. Hope everybody's doing well. Boy, I tell you what, we are into the holiday weekend and, you know, just wrapping up Labor Day and everything. And it's been a lot of fun, I think, for people to be able to breathe a little bit, take a couple of days off if you've been working through this whole COVID, to visit with family and friends and so on as you know, we are trying to get up out of this and start our lives over and figure out where we can go and who we can hang out with and things like that. And today I was on an in-home assessment. And yes, I have been going into people's homes for the last 3 months, even through this COVID, wearing a mask, staying 6 feet apart as much as I could, and working with them in their own environments and so on and so forth. And some realizations came to me about some things that we could talk about today. So this particular person, family I was working with, has a Parkinson's diagnosis about 5 years ago. And the guy, who is just a lovely, lovely human being, and his wife, moved here to Denver just a couple of years ago and are new to the community for the most part. And as they have moved into an older community, they find that not knowing people, in addition to his Parkinson's diagnosis, has left them a little bit isolated and left their house relatively quiet. Activities have diminished. Sleeping has become more of an option and not really engaging with the universe has been sort of the mode they're in. And what got me to thinking about this is that that sounds like what any of you are going through. My suggestion to this couple was that the disease gave them 50% of this problem, right? There's issues with mobility. There's issues with eye-hand coordination. There's issues with some short-term memory loss. If you're dealing with Parkinson's, you're having a situation where you're having motor skill issues and your tremors could be at issue. Not everybody with Parkinson's has tremors, so the rest might have the bradykinesia, which is the stiffness of movement. And lack of that dopamine production is what causes you to have issues with your mobility, your balance, and so forth. But how much of it do you own as the person with the diagnosis? And that was what I put to the person that I was talking with today, because it had become easier for him to just lay down and take a nap 3 or 4 times a day. And it was easier for his wife because she could get some things done out in the yard or run some errands and things like that. And everything would be pretty copacetic as far as them being able to do the things that they want during the day, each to their own. But what it transcended to was not sleeping at night for either one of them, angry exchanges because one wants the other to get up and do something, or the other wants the other one to leave them alone and stop nagging them. So if any of this sounds familiar to any of you, this is what I think. And this is what I told the lovely gentleman I was talking to, that it's up to him if he wants to get out of bed and get up and move around and go for a drive with his wife when she asks him to come along with her. And if he doesn't go, he can basically chalk it up, just like you're putting it on a chalkboard, and say, Parkinson's wins this one. Okay? Now, some of you might be saying, hey, it's easier sometimes if we just leave our loved one at home so we can go and do things and get everything done faster and get back to the house. What is easier? What is easier? You know, a little bit of this for a little bit of that. It's easier for you to go out and run your errands on your own time and not have that person with you. But if they're staying in bed, if they're just sitting in a chair, what happens is they're having a breakdown of their muscle mass. They're having a breakdown of their mental capability. They're letting cognitive impairment take over. And that's going to become more issues for the caregiver in the department of, if they're sleeping all day, neither of you are going to be sleeping at night. And then we get people that are not well rested. They can be grouchy or irritable. This particular couple seems like they get along pretty well, but in general, you're creating a whole nother crisis mode and chaos for yourself. And eventually that person is going to, with the diagnosis, is going to end up with a walker or is going to end up in a wheelchair. And then who won? You know, it falls into the how's that working for you category. So what I suggested to this couple, and I'm going to suggest to all of you today, is that they make a schedule. They make a schedule. And they do it together. It's not the caregiver making the schedule and the other person has to adhere to it. It's making a schedule together, taking a Monday through Sunday or however you run your week and saying, all right, we're going to get up at a certain time in the morning. Let's say 7 a.m. or 7:30, 8 o'clock. We'll say 8 o'clock just for fun. If you're retired, this works for you anyway. You don't have any reason to have to get up early. So get up at 8 o'clock, have some coffee, have some breakfast. It's still summertime. Go outside if you can. Listen to the birds. Enjoy the sunshine. 50-degree weather in the morning sometimes is kind of nice. 60 degrees even better. But sit there and have a little breakfast, right? But then get going. Say at 9:30, we're getting in the shower on that day. At 10 o'clock, we're going to work a crossword puzzle. Or we're going to work Sudoku. Or we're going to have the circle of word. And we're going to do that for approximately a half an hour. Okay? Then you can take a little rest or break and watch your favorite game show or something on TV, listen to sports, whatever you want to do. But it can be alone time, but not napping. It can be somebody just walks around the house, they clean the kitchen, they do whatever they need to do. Now you get to 11 o'clock, and I suggested to these folks that maybe they listen to a podcast. So, you know, there are a zillion different kinds of podcasts. Go on iHeart. They're the king of the podcasts, I guess. You can go on Apple Podcasts. I think they're connected, actually. You can go on Spotify or Stitcher or SoundCloud, whatever you want, and pick one that works for you. Is it a mystery? You know, a whodunit? Is it talking about something historical or something that happened in the world that people are straightening out whatever the story was because there's been so many misconceptions or lies about what actually happened? Is it talking about gardening? Do you want to just hear some good news? You know, what do you want to hear? There is a podcast for everything. So pick one. Listen to it for 30 minutes or a half an hour like you're listening to mine. Listen to something else. Still listen to mine, though. But anyway, you can do something like that, right? Or listen to an audio book. And maybe you just listen to one chapter at a time for an hour during the day. And then I told this particular person that then he can have lunch. And after lunch, if he wants to, because he got up at 7, he could go lay down and take a nap. But he cannot sleep longer than 2 o'clock in the afternoon, period. One nap a day after he's gotten up and done some things around the house. And then when he gets up, I suggested that he ride a stationary bike. They have one, but it's down in the basement gathering dust. okay? So bring that stationary bike up. If you don't have any kind of an apparatus like that, go for a walk in your neighborhood. I don't care if you have a walker or a cane or something like that. Get out and move. Do some exercises. It really, really matters. And then, you know, throughout the course of the day and the course of the week, I ask them to take certain time periods and try to keep those time periods consistent, but the activity throughout the day could change. So if they have an activity they're supposed to do at 10 a.m., it can be any activity they want, but it has to happen at 10 a.m. Lunch is going to be at 11:30. Nap time is going to be 12 to 2. And then they get up and do something else. So try to find the things that your person really enjoys. What kind of things could they do throughout the day? So, you know, it's really great to have this couple because I got some great examples that I can share with you today, and I could share some if you were working with me. So in his particular case, this guy likes golf. He used to golf regularly. Him and his wife used to golf. But now that he's 79 and 7 years in, or 5 years into Parkinson's, he's quit golfing. So I said, well, we just have to modify it. They had some kind of long hallways in their house. So I asked the woman to purchase a cornhole game. And with that cornhole game, they can make multiple games. They can modify it several different ways to find engagement that is important to him and gives him the ability to get a little bit of exercise. So for starters, they could throw the bing bags and try and get them in the holes. And they don't have to be 30 or 40 feet apart. It can be 10 feet just so he can, use his arms and use his left arm, use his right arm. Even if he's not left-handed, use each different arm so that you're getting exercise for both of those arms. I told her that he could putt into that. They have a putting green piece of carpet kind of thing. And if it doesn't roll up smoothly on the cornhole, use a towel to make the underneath it to make the transition a little bit easier so he can roll it up into the cornhole and golf and putt. And he kind of joked that he wasn't really ever a good putter anyway. So I said, well, you've got two cornholes. Put them side by side. Maybe you'll get it in one of them. Who knows? The other thing you can do, so now we've got the actual cornhole game, and we can putt into it. And I told him to use a dog bowl or a bowl from the kitchen to catch the ball once it falls into the hole. They can just put the bowl underneath of it. That's an easy way to do that. If you can drill a hole in it to come out the side or put a little hose on it so that it can come out the side and roll back to him, that'd be good, but I don't want anybody getting lazy, okay? So that's a way you can do it. You can also get, like the little balls that you can use for kids' toys. They're plastic and they're light and they're about the size of a great big grapefruit or something like that. And he could roll the ball up into the hole. So that's a third way to use that cornhole. The other thing they could do was get some you can either go to a store like a Target or a dollar store and get bowling pins that they can not real heavy duty ones like the child's game bowling pins and set them up at the end of the hall and they can use that ball and there's a ball that actually comes with them and you can roll and knock the pins down. If you don't have the money or don't have a Target or dollar store near you, buy water like Aquafina in the 12 or 24 packs. And when you bring those home, you could either leave water in some or refill them when you're done and use those as your bowling pins. And just find a ball in your house, or you can generally get one of those balls at your local grocery store. They usually have them in a bin for kids. At least they used to. Some places do, some places don't. But you can always go to Target and find these things. So speaking of Target, other games that you could play, you can go to Target and there's these different games, and I don't mean this to sound wrong, but you can find them in the kids section, the children's section. And usually it's for younger children, but there are 25 or 30-piece puzzles. You can order them off of Amazon, too. Just Google 25-piece puzzles for adults with dementia, and you'll find all these different beautiful puzzles that are 25 to 50 pieces, not, you know, a 500-piece puzzle that it takes forever. And, you know, the family today joke that, you know, if they have something that takes too long, if it takes more than like a half an hour or 60 minutes, they'll just give up on it. And so I said, well, then get one that only takes a half an hour or 45 minutes. Don't get one that is longer. But the idea is to take a list of things that are important to the person that you're trying to build the activity and the engagement around, and then plug it in throughout the day. So as we were talking, this sweet wife, she said, well, you know, we could do some chair exercises, and it's Tuesdays and Thursdays at 9 a.m. And I said, that's great. That's perfect. So sit down and do those chair exercises. She can pull it up on her TV. She knows how. You can plug those in at certain places. So now we've got a whole bunch of things. We've got the cornhole. We've got the putting. We've got the rolling a ball into the cornhole. We've got the bowling. We've got the stationary bike. We've got, you know, sitting down in a chair and doing chair exercises. Why not? We've got the podcast that they can listen to. We can do an audio book. You can watch a game show for a little while. Read a book or let one of the audio books read to you. Do the circle a word. Do the puzzles, crossword puzzles. You can plug all these things in. Go for a walk. Run an errand to go to the bank and stop at Starbucks. Go to the grocery store together. I said to the gentleman, listen, here's the deal. You can let Parkinson's kick your ass or you can fight back. It's as simple as that. It's not your caregiver's job, any of you out there. It's not your caregiver's job to get you motivated. You have a type of dementia. It's getting the better of you. But don't give in. Continue to fight. Continue to get in the game. Go for a ride in the car. Go for a walk around the neighborhood with someone. Play with the dog. That was another thing I told them. They have a cute little bulldog, French bulldog. Play with the dog for 15 or 20 minutes. All these things are available to you. Find things in your house that you enjoy. If it were me, I love to garden. And I realized that just to water the 80 plants in my yard takes about an hour and a half, just walking around and deadheading them and all that kind of stuff. If I had Alzheimer's, that would be a perfect thing for somebody to do with me, put a hat on me, put some sunscreen on me, and get me out in my yard clipping off the dead flowers of the blooms that I have so that the summer plants that I have growing in my yard will continue to grow into October. You know, play some music, dance together. I'm telling you, right now, just with your phone, you can access so much information. You can literally get an audiobook. You can listen to a podcast about anything in the world. You can have somebody on a podcast teach you to sew. I mean, it's crazy. There's just so many things. And if worse comes to worse, have it play some of your favorite music and dance a little bit throughout the day. You know, touch your toes. Do the body groove that I do. I don't care what it is. But the thing is, you have to ask yourself, yes, I've been dealt a nasty hand here. I have my tremors, if it's Parkinson's disease, and my medication when I'm on and when I'm off, and when it's winding down, and I'm afraid to be out doing things. I don't mean this to sound as harsh as it's going to, but stop making excuses. Stop making excuses. You have a diagnosis. You can fight this. You can fight through it. Do you want to maintain your dignity and your quality of life? Or do you want to lose your muscle mass? Do you want to lose more of your memory? Do you want all this to take over? Because deciding to sleep throughout the day is not the answer. Nobody wins when you do that. And this, I'm not picking on any this family or any other one, but I'm telling you, with these in-home assessments that I do over and over and over again, I hear that the people have disrupted sleep patterns, they're not sleeping well, and yet their loved one is sleeping all day long because the caregiver needed to get something done. Nobody wins. Nobody wins. Everybody loses. There are no winners here. There's no payday. There's nothing. All you get is grief, and it's hard to deal with, and we simply want to say, well, my loved one has Parkinson's. My friend has Alzheimer's. I guess there's nothing we can do. The one thing we can do is look the disease squarely in the eye and say, you're not going to win today. You're not going to win today. I'm going to work with my person with compassion and kindness and empathy. I'm going to try to engage them in meaningful engagements that they enjoy. I'm going to do the best I can to work with them and provide whatever it takes to keep them engaged and happy. And then if it goes south on you, I think you're going to have to go stand in front of the mirror and look straight in the mirror and say, I guess I let you win today. I guess I let the disease win today. Because I'm telling you, folks, just little things in your house, just little things. One other thing that I told this family today is, especially for our friends with Parkinson's, you can move your fingers. This actually would apply to anybody. I want you to move your fingers around. Just right now as you're listening to this podcast, I want you to put your hands out in front of you and wiggle your thumbs and then wiggle your forefingers and your middle finger and your ring finger and then your pinky finger and move them like they're flowing through the wind and start moving your wrists around and just getting that exercise and making our wrists and our hands and our fingers stronger and pulsate them in and out like a jellyfish towards each other. You're contracting and then pushing forward, contracting and pushing forward. This keeps you from developing arthritis. It helps you with dexterity. It's fine motor skill. These are things that people with Parkinson's and Alzheimer's could certainly do to try to help keep your fingers and your hands moving and working for you. And guess what? If you do this for 10 or 20 minutes, just moving your fingers around, wiggling your fingers, float them through the air like they're just flying around on their own, you do this for 10 to 20 minutes, it will stave off your symptoms and tremors and stiffness for about 20 minutes to a half an hour. You have some control over this. You do. Don't act like you don't. You do. And any of us can do this. Stretching, bending over and touching our toes. Put a leg up on a counter and stretch just a little bit. And then put the other leg up and stretch just a little bit. These are little things. If we don't use our muscles, we will lose our muscles. It's really as simple as that. So get busy on all this. Don't let the disease be your excuse for letting your life go to hell in a handbasket. Start working on these various ways to stretch, work out, utilize your brain, work on things that you enjoy, like crossword puzzles and such, and let your loved one help you with it. Pick up a pencil and hold it and try to write the words in. Again, dexterity and fine motor skills. These are things that are still available to you as long as you continue to use them. And I looked at this beautiful, wonderful couple and this man, and I said, you know, you can still get up and move around. You haven't lost this battle yet. Where it came in was it was easier to have the house quiet and, you know, it was kind of boring and there wasn't really much to do. And so you went in and laid down and took a nap right, you know, an hour after you woke up this morning. To me, that makes no sense. So people, take control. Take control. Stop letting the disease guide your path. Continue to learn new information. Continue to utilize your mind and your body as though it's an engine that you have to rev up and drive down the highway every so often. And we have to continue to try to learn new information. We need to, you know, take that wiggling of our fingers and extend it to your feet and your toes and your ankles and moving your feet around. As we get older, after you get about 55, 60, things start falling apart on you and arthritis starts kicking in. And no matter what you do, if you've lived throughout your life and had some fun, you're probably going to have arthritis in one place or another. And I practice what I preach here. I just found out recently that from my lower lumbar 1 through 5, I have arthritis in my back. So I absolutely am going to practice what I preach here. I've been doing my body groove. I hike a couple times a week. I take my dog with me where I can. I'm joining a women's hiking group. I used to climb years and years ago, which is why I have, probably this issue in my back. But I'm going to do things that continue to help me to be healthy and viable and getting my muscle memory working the best I possibly can and eating right and doing all the things that are going to continue to help me be healthy. And I want all of you to do that too, because if you let that go, you've lost. You've lost. And I know none of you want that. Okay? So there's my soapbox for today on how you can continue to take a look at your life and have the meaningful engagement that you want and need for your life and for your loved one. So when we come back, I'm going to give you a few more ideas of ways you can take items in your house and utilize them in this way so that you can create these activities that we throw on our calendar. Okay, we'll be right back.
Living and working with Alzheimer's and other dementias can often be challenging. Summit Resilience Training provides education utilizing non-medical approaches for those who work with our friends affected by dementia. Believing families still need one-on-one assistance, we provide classes which help them understand the diseases affecting their loved ones, offering strategies and techniques for success with activities of daily living and working with confusing behaviors. We offer in-home assessments to clarify symptoms of dementia diseases and help families work together to find moments of joy while living with memory loss and impairment. Education programs instilling person-centered care philosophies are offered for professional caregivers working in communities and homes, which can be customized for their staff. Training is also available for first responders, such as law enforcement, fire, and EMT personnel. We are passionate that people with dementias, such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and others, are approached with compassion and understanding, and those who work with them have all the tools they need for success. Call us at Summit Resilience Training, 303-420-6988, to schedule a class or in-home assessment. Visit our website at summitresiliencetraining.com for more information.
Welcome back to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay, so I just spent the first half hour talking about ways that you can keep the person with the diagnosis engaged. Now I want to talk about the caregiver, what you need to do to not lose your emotional stability, not get angry, lose your compassion, things like that. What could we come up with? So it may sound odd, but I would like you to think about things that you can do, say, in your kitchen. Like, we'll just maybe take some ideas room to room. So sometimes it's easier to just unload the dishwasher yourself, fix the meal yourself, put the groceries in the refrigerator yourself. But when you get home from going grocery shopping and you're planning your meal for the evening, invite your person with the diagnosis to come in and use, again, their fine motor skills to take items out of the bags, or even if they get delivered to you, and put them in the refrigerator or put them up in the cabinet wherever they go. If they don't put them in the place that you like because you're a perfectionist, wait until they're done. They walk away, put things where they need to go. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you're allowing and engaging them in this activity instead of excluding them and acting like this is something they can no longer do. Okay? As far as making a meal, again, you don't necessarily want them using the stove and leaving it on or turning on a burner and burning themselves. But why can't they add a teaspoon of this and a fourth of a cup of that and, you know, engage them. Let them come back into the kitchen. I'm going to ask you to take a look at what they can still do, not what they've lost. We've had this conversation probably one too many times on this show, but over and over again, as I'm providing in-home assessments, I see family members who have systematically eliminated activities for their people with the diagnosis because it was easier for them as a caregiver. But all that really happens is that person starts feeling like they have a deficiency and that you're looking at them as a new person and they don't like where this transition has taken them. So continue to have them in the kitchen. If you're not letting them participate in the cooking or there's just, you know, a cutting of vegetables or, you know, whatever you need, and it entails a knife and a cutting board or something, have them come in the kitchen and just sing some songs, play some music, listen to that podcast I was talking about. Engage them in the time that you're in the kitchen preparing the meal. It would be so meaningful and wonderful for them. In the meantime, you could just give them a little snack or something while dinner's getting ready, but not too much so that they're not hungry when by the time the dinner is ready. But the important thing is letting them maybe read the menu to you. If they have Parkinson's, they might still be able to do that. Even if you don't need to know what the menu says, they could still read things to you. Well, what am I supposed to do next? Okay, I'm doing this, this, and this. These kinds of things help keep them engaged. Let them pull out the utensils that you need, the knife and the fork, and do not chastise if they pull a fork out and say, is this a fork? Again, we've talked about that on another in-home assessment. They may start not having the ability to recognize objects. So that's all right. Just answer, no, that's actually the spoon. The fork is the next one over. Maybe you point to it or cue. Have them set the table. Let them pull down the plates that are needed or a glass or something of that nature, getting everybody a glass of water. After dinner is over, let them help you clear the plates and put the dishes in the dishwasher. If you have them help you wash and dry, just make sure that they're standing close to the sink area. And if you're worried about them dropping something, put a towel in the sink where they would dry the object, the plate or whatever it is, so that if it falls, it won't break. If it's hitting the porcelain or something like that of the sink, it might actually break. So just use a towel, line the sink with a towel and let them try to dry things. We're not looking for perfection. We're not looking for everything to be, you know, just right. What we're looking for is the engagement. If you exclude them, they start feeling diminished. They start feeling like half of the person that they were. They start sleeping in chairs more often. They start saying no to going out on activities. And again, I have to say that benefits no one. You think it benefits you in the short run, but in the long run, you're going to get bigger problems with it. So after dinner, maybe you're watching Wheel of Fortune. Maybe you go for a walk. You know, depending on where you live, you can go out in the evening. And just because the fall is coming, fall is one of my favorite times of year. That's a great time to get out in the yard, get outside, get your fire pit going, whatever it is. Start living again. Don't, you know, COVID has taken a lot from us too, because we've been stuck in our houses and we haven't been able to get out and go places. And some places across the country, like Denver, are lifting the restrictions where you can go to a restaurant and you can walk in and to your seat, go to your seat with a mask on. But once you're sitting down, you can take your mask off. I'm actually having a party on September 12th, and I'm inviting 25 people to listen to me and my husband play music in our backyard. We've done it for 10 years. I have COVID fatigue. I'm having my party. I usually have 65 or 70 people in my yard. This time I'm only going to have about 20 to 25. So I'm going to have less tables. They're going to be further apart. But with my 16-foot tables, two 8-foot tables, I'm going to be able to have one or two people at the food table at a time, and so be it, you know? And I'll have the drinks, the wine, the beer, the non-alcoholic drinks, everything at a different table, and somebody could go over to that one or two at a time if you're with your loved one. You know, I mean, let's start living again. We don't have to be reckless. I'm going to ask people to wear masks when they're up walking around like they would in a restaurant, but we're going to be outside in my backyard with the wind blowing and everything else, and I'm throwing caution to the wind. Quite frankly, I don't care. You can write me an email and tell me I'm irresponsible. I don't care. I'm going to practice what I preach here. I'm telling you, I'm going to live. I'm tired of the universe dictating what I can and cannot do. And I'm going to live my life. I'm going to do it the best I can. I want to play music. My husband and I, we like to sit down in our basement in our music room and play music. And I've been actively trying to sing songs and not look at the lyrics and really work on it. I've told you guys over and over again that Alzheimer's runs in my family. Frontal temporal runs in my family. And I'll be damned if I'm going to let this get to me. I'm doing my exercises. I'm eating right. I'm walking. I'm doing my thing. And the other piece is I play games. I sing songs, and I'm going to learn those lyrics. Once again, I played in bands for 25 years and never had lyrics in front of me, and I'm using them as a crutch. I use them as a crutch to have near me in case something goes wrong with the music, or I forget where I'm at, or somebody says something and talks to me while I'm singing. You would not believe how often that happens at our party. Somebody will start talking to me in the middle of a song and you forget where you're at. But I'm going to make sure that I learn all the songs for September the 12th, and I don't have to look, and I don't even want to have my music available. I'm challenging myself to do that. So you caregivers who worry about, you know, getting this disease or you know, if it's in your family and stuff like that, challenge yourself to doing something new. Learn a new language. Learn song lyrics without having the words. Do a painting. Make a painting. Go to a painting class. All these things are starting to kick back in place in certain areas. And I think Colorado has been really, really great. Everywhere I go, I've seen people with masks on. And I think that's the reason why we have less people with it in Colorado now, and they're lifting the restrictions, because we followed the rules so well. So now we can benefit by going out and doing some of the things that we want to do. I've been getting a massage once a month. Yes, I have. I've been getting my hair done for 4 months now. You know, I'm telling you, you have to live. If you throw in the towel, it's not good. It's not good. And so I'm trying to do everything I can to stay strong and healthy, and I encourage all of you to do that as well. I think over the holiday weekend, I'm going to go down in my basement, and everybody has this. You all have this. You have boxes and boxes of crap piled everywhere. You have photos that aren't in albums. you have things that you've held on to for 10, 15 years and you're never going to revisit. And why we hang on to it, I don't know. So go down there with your person with the diagnosis and start going through memory lane and all these boxes and figure out what you need to hang on to or don't need to hang on to. As we get older, we start thinking about downsizing from our houses. It's going to pay off in the end for you anyway because you can't take all that stuff with you. It's so funny because the lady that I was talking about with the home assessment this morning said that when her and her husband moved from Washington, D.C. to Colorado 2 years ago, the guy that was driving the truck called her and she said, "Oh, we'll be right there to meet you at the house." And he said, "That's not why I'm calling. You think all this furniture is going to fit in this house, the new house that they just bought?" And she said she had to laugh. And she said only about half of what they took with them actually fit in the house that they downsized in. And they had to put the rest of it someplace else. So do yourself a favor. Go through your closets. Get rid of clothes you don't need. There are people struggling in this world right now. They really are. And we've had one, you know, natural catastrophe after another with hurricanes and everything else. So donate clothes that you haven't worn in a year to Goodwill or ARC or something like that. These are things you can do for yourself. You can go off and do it yourself while your loved one's on their bike or listening to a podcast or something like that. And you can go in and clean out your closets, clean out your storage areas, clean out your junk drawer. While we're at home, we've got these options. On the fun side, you could learn to bake bread or make your own pizza. I make my own lasagna. I make my own noodles. I really enjoy that. So, you know, utilize cooking and baking and things like that. That can be fun. It makes the house smell good. It brings back fond memories of childhood. Man, I tell you what, I love the smell of baked bread. I hone in on the area where I smell baked bread. I love stuff like that. Cook out on the grill. This is a beautiful time of year to be out there cooking and stuff like that. Have theme nights. Have theme nights or theme weeks where, you know, 1 week you're having Mexican food and you're visiting Mexico, and maybe you go on the internet and Google anything Mexican or places you could visit. And read a book or something like that on various places in Mexico. Next week it's going to be Italy. You're going to have Italian food. You're going to study Tuscany, you know, and what you can learn about Tuscany and things like that. The next week could be China. And it goes on and on. It goes on and on. Use your imagination. Use your ability to think outside of the box. My mom, God bless her, one thing she always said is a book can take you anywhere in the world you want to go. Anywhere. And so, you know, I talked earlier about audiobooks and things like that. I mean, you can have fun. You can let this all get to you. You can let it drive you down. You can let it make you sad. You can let all this just take over your life and dump depression on your head and on your body and on your soul and all that. Or you can figure out a way to have a little bit of fun with it and to utilize the things that you enjoy. Make a list of the things that you would love to learn or do, something different that you've never done. And get in the game. Get in there. And for goodness sakes, don't listen to the TV. This political crap is driving me nuts. And we've got riots and everything else going on all over the country. Keep your TV off. Don't let all that negative energy infiltrate into your house, okay? I'm telling you what, the world right now is not in a pretty place. And if you can't have peace and joy and harmony in your house, you're not going to get it from most other places right now. I would give anything to go to a concert, listen to some music, and have a couple of cold beers. Oh, I would give anything for that. But we don't have those right now. So I'm having one in my backyard. That's what I'm saying. Figure these things out. Make your life what you want it to be. Find your own moments of joy. Nobody's going to do that exercise for you. Nobody's going to move your legs and dance for you. Nobody's going to clean that box in the basement. Nobody's going to get rid of all your clutter. Nobody's going to come in and hold your hand while you're trying to be a caregiver to your person. I can give you education. I can give you strategies and techniques. So in that way, I can wrap you in a big hug of understanding and love and enrichment and try and help you with those kind of things. And please jump in on my classes. They're on Zoom. Every month I have an Alzheimer's class. I just had one yesterday, so caregivers can get on those classes. They're 1:30 to 3:30 the first Wednesday every month. I have a Parkinson's class every quarter. The next one is coming up on September 15th. Go on, and that one's on a Tuesday, but it's 1:30 to 3:30. And if you have Parkinson's, you can jump in on that class. It's on Zoom anywhere you are in the world. It's Mountain Time. It's Mountain Time. But go on my website. It's listed on my events page and join in. I'll give you a zillion more ideas and help you live with these diseases resiliently, overcoming obstacles and adversity to find a positive outcome. We can do this. We can do this. We can do this. We're not going to be victims. We're not victims. We're going to jump in there. And I'm telling you, my heart is so full when I finish a class like I did yesterday and people stay on for 10 minutes saying, the way you explained that made it so easy for me to understand. Using your own in the trenches experiences gave this class credibility. I tell you what, I love that when people stay on and tell me how much they enjoyed the class and what they learned, and that they're kind of sick and tired of hearing the same old basic class that doesn't really do anything except for talk about Alois Alzheimer's and how he discovered Alzheimer's with Augusta Dieter kind of thing. I go into the brain. I explain the brain. I do this class every other month. That was a beginner class yesterday. I'll have it again in November. And on the off months, I have continuum classes where I discuss things that you see and experience in your own homes. Jump in. Help is available. We have to get through this somehow, and I'll do my best. It's nothing makes me happier than working with families. So again, summitresiliencetraining.com, summitresiliencetraining.com. And by the way, I have shortened my email address. It is now jill@srthelp.com. So that's for summitresiliencetraining.com. help.com, but it's srthelp.com. So one more time, jill@srthelp.com. Email me. Tell me if you think I'm full of it. Tell me if you think the information I give you is great. I love answering listeners' questions, and I am here to help you with all of this. But I'm also here to say, stop acting like a victim. Jump in here. Take control of your life. Take control of your disease. Take control of your caregiving skills. Remember that some of the things you do can adversely affect the person with the diagnosis if you think it's just easier for you to do things without them. We can't escape the fact that we do hold a bit of the responsibility there to how this disease manifests itself. Okay? All right, folks. I hope you all have a great, great month of September. I look forward to talking to you again, and I'll see you next week on Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
You've been listening to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz. To learn more about her resources, services, classes, or to book speaking engagements, visit Jill's website at summitresiliencetraining.com. A new podcast drops every Tuesday, so join us as we learn more about dementias, resilience, and overcoming obstacles to find a positive outcome. Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz can be found on your favorite podcast provider. Please subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. Musical and technical support provided by Brian Hunter. See you next week.